How do you get in a good relationship and stay in it? That's a central question that drives the characters in a collection of short stories by West Michigan author Lisa Lenzo. The book is Strange Love. The stories take us through the lives of Annie Zito. She's a divorced mom, and her daughter Marley. And the book was on this year's list of Michigan Notable Books. Lisa Lenzo joins us now. So good to have you with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I really enjoyed reading your collection of short stories, and it was such an interesting structure, I thought, because each story builds on the other. They stand alone, but they also fit and build on each other at the same time. Why did you choose to make them short stories instead of, say, a short novel?
There was a point where my agent asked me to turn it into a novel, and it just didn't really work that way. It seems to me like it's more like each story is an individual house, and you just go from house to house all in a line. And when I tried to turn it into a novel, for some reason, it was like I'd taken these boards and tacked them to the houses to make them fit together. It just didn't work that way. I think maybe because I started out as stories, and I kind of like the way it jumps between the mother and the daughter, and that you can read them each by itself, too.
Very, very true. Let's start with Annie Zito. Who is Annie, and what's been happening in her life when you first introduce us to her?
Well, she's divorced. She has an 8-year-old child. She's a student, and she's trying to find another relationship. Actually, at the very beginning, she's unclear about whether she wants to be in another relationship or not. She wants one, but she's not sure that that's the best, if it's the best idea or not.
Very, very relatable. After something's gone down in smoke and ash, whether you want to go there again. Yeah. And then there's Marley, who her daughter, who is 8 years old when we first meet her. And through how many years are we following the characters as we read Strange Love? She starts at 8, and where do we see her end up?
She's about 23, so it's about a decade and a half. So you do see her grow up.
How would you describe Marley? I'm interested in your take on her.
Marley, she's precocious. She's bright. She's stubborn, strong-willed. She is based on my own daughter, and I've complained at different times about her when she was younger to my mom, and I've said, she's so strong-willed, and my mom would say, "Well, where do you think she gets that from?" and give me a look. So.
I'd say as we follow them through these stories, both Annie and Marley are certainly searching for love and for a good relationship that lasts, and both make some really big mistakes. And you have Mom Annie wanting to shield her daughter, very understandably, and her daughter's pushing back, wanting to do it on her own. And you tell me you have a daughter, so that answered my question, because that's such a true dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's all, you just have to see how it goes. I mean, it's hard to know when to back off and when to stick your face in it. So I think every child is different. You can't read a manual to do it. But I hope people reading these stories can see themselves in it, and maybe it helps them to go forward in their own relationships with their kids, too.
Realizing that someone else has been here, too. I'd like to ask if you would, Lisa, to read us a passage from the second story of your collection, Strange Love. It's called Alien. And this is when 13-year-old Marley comes home after she's been visiting her dad. She's got her head shaved, and she's sporting a great big pile of bad attitude. And this part comes right after Marley calls her mom a name and then storms off to her room. Could you read to us?
Sure. I walk to my bathroom, sit on the toilet. After I pee, rather than get up, I press my face into my hands. I had thought that if I made a conscious effort, day after day, to stay on good terms with Marley as she entered and moved through her teen years, we would never grow apart. She spends every other night at her dad's, but on the nights she sleeps at my house, even though she is capable of reading whatever she wants by herself, I still read out loud to her as we lie side by side on my bed. She's grown more critical of me lately, but we never really fight. One day, a couple of weeks ago, she started lecturing me on how to behave in front of her friends so as not to embarrass her. "Why don't you just write me a list?" I said, and I handed her my journal, and she scrawled line after line. "No chewing like a cow. No pulling your socks up way high. No asking stupid questions. No being nosy. No trying to have a conversation with my friends. No criticizing their music. No griping at me. No trying to be funny. It is hopeless. No laughing when no one else is laughing." Looking over Marley's list, I protested, You're not letting me do anything. You might as well just write what I can do. And she took the notebook back and wrote, "You can be quiet, polite, and not yourself." We had frowned mock combatively at each other and then dissolved into laughter. And just yesterday, when I dropped her off at her dad's, she gave me her usual brief yet tight hug. It hadn't occurred to me that, rather than drift apart, we might experience a swift and sudden break. She has been away from me just now for only one day and one night, but in that time, she seems to have moved off a million miles. It's as if spacemen have stolen my spunky yet sweet, soft-haired girl and left a bristling, bald alien in her place.
That's Lisa Lenzo reading an excerpt from her story, Alien, from her collection of short stories called Strange Love. And I chose that because I just thought you did such an exquisite job of showing the internal push and pull of the mother and the daughter. And you do the same throughout the whole book with the relationships that both women are involved in. And boy, you're good at that.
Well, thanks a lot.
I'm curious, you've kind of indicated you've had similar moments with your own daughter. And did some of this get worked out for you as you wrote Strange Love?
I think most of it was worked out already. By the time I started writing these stories, she was in her 20s, or actually close to 30 by then. And it was her idea for me to write some of these stories because she kept bugging me to write a story about her, another story. I'd written a story about her when she was a baby and a couple when she was a child. And she would bring that up and say, "When are you going to write another story about me, Mom?" And I kept putting her off. And I finally told her, "I'll write another story about you when I've recovered from your teen years." And so when I first wrote this collection, it was just all stories about Annie. And I brought it to my writing group. And Marley was in some of the stories. And everybody in the group said they wanted to see more of Marley. And so I decided to cut some of the Annie stories and give Marley four stories of her own.
Well, and as we go through this, both of these women, as we were saying, make some very, very bad picks when it comes to their men. Let's talk a little about Annie. She falls for a therapist who needs some therapy himself, a doctor who can't quite grow up into the real world of loving someone. In fact, Annie and this Dr. Hal wind up having almost like an early teenage courtship where they're making out, but they're never sealing the deal. There's the photographer, Richard, the English teacher. So many relationships that begin promising and then unravel. Is it Annie? Is it the guys? Or is it the combination of them together, do you think?
You know, I still haven't figured that out completely. I mean, it is based on my own life, and I have made some things up too, but sometimes I blame it on the fact that I think for a long time, if men acted too interested in me, that would scare me off. So I kept going out with very ambivalent men, and that's never a good idea. They're probably ambivalent for a reason. And also, too, I lived way out in, well, I live in Saugatuck. It's a gay community. It's a small community. There's not a lot of single men to choose from. So I blame it on that. I don't know if that's fair or not.
One of the, I thought, most powerful and frightening stories is Flames. And this is where Annie discovers that Marley is living with a man named Mitch who is a horrendous abuser. And your description of the dynamics of their relationship and what it was like when Marley realizes she has to get out, it made me wonder again, was that something you've seen up close in your own life?
That story is pretty autobiographical and is based on my daughter's relationship too. And I did have a friend as well who had a lot of trouble with an ex-husband. I think it's prevalent in our society, unfortunately. In fact, I'm going to be doing a benefit for the Center for Women in Transition, which is a center in Holland that helps abused women. And the story that I wrote brings that center it's in the story too. So I'm going to be doing that.
It is a chance to use your platform as a writer to really kind of spread that message.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to, you know, have my writing do something more than entertain. I wanted to entertain as well, but I like for it to, I don't know, educate people and just make the world a better place. I guess many writers feel that way.
I wondered, as I read these stories, Lake Michigan really is a character in Annie's story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's very much a part of my life, too. I was just out the other day walking on the ice and went way out. And then I always feel that I know, you know, I've been going on the ice now since I was 18 years old. And I feel like I know when it's safe and when it's not. And then the very next day I was out there, I was a little further down the beach, but I saw that about the same area where I'd been walking was open water. I said, I need to rethink this. That wasn't quite as solid as, you know, looked and felt very solid. And I think most people who live near Lake Michigan have a strong connection to it. And I think Andy probably has a stronger connection than others, partly because she lived there ever since she was a young adult. And then she also had a daughter whose ashes she's sprinkled in the lake.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you do a beautiful job of taking us, you know, to the shores and giving us a sense of life on the lake. What does your identity as a Michigan writer mean to you?
I think it's pretty strong because a sense of place is important to me. I tried to write a novel once that took place, half of it was in San Diego, and it was all right, but and I went out to stay in San Diego, and I visited there a few times. But I think it works better for me to have a place that is so much in my bones that I don't even have to think about how to describe it. I've also written about Detroit, which is where I grew up. And the novel that I'm working on right now is set in Detroit. So I think I'm going to be writing about Michigan probably for the rest of my life. There's a lot to write about here.
Lisa Lenzo's collection of short stories is called Strange Love. The book was on this year's list of Michigan Notable Books. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, too.